I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 580. This is how tangents get started.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the original.
The fucking original.
Girl Gaming Tech Gadget and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast. It's a special episode of our weekly podcast because it's PAX Roundtable time.
God, we have not had a special episode in a while.
It's been a bit.
Yeah.
It's been a bit. Mostly because of like House Explosion.
Life.
And like life and then other things. But it is time. We're overdue for a special episode. And I'm so glad to be here with some of our more favorite humans on the planet.
They're definitely my favorite.
Joining us for the roundtable are...
Hello, I'm Chris O'Regan from Spawn.com and the Retro Asylum.
And konnichiwa, my bastards, wenches, and brothers and sisters. This is your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo, from Electric Sisterhood and Boston Bash Brigade and Wicked Anime. And may I say, it is awesome to be here once again. Although, I do want to start off with a bit of a rant.
Uh-oh.
So, I love my city, Boston. It's a great town. I've been living here practically my entire life. But for the love of God, never put two of your biggest, geekiest conventions back to back ever again. Because I am still recovering from fucking Anime Boston, man.
Oh, poor baby. This is my third convention in a row in 2 weeks.
And two of them were for work.
Two of them were kind of, well, one was
more work.
Yeah.
One was just fun.
One was work play.
Yeah.
More play than work.
So is that why you're playing the tiniest fiddle right now?
It's so small.
Can I chime in?
Yes, please do.
So I've got PAX East this week.
Mm-hmm.
Then next weekend is Rezzed.
Yeah.
So Rezzed is an indie gaming convention in London, East London, near Shadwell. Lovely part of the world. Lots of curry houses down there. And that lasts from Friday through to Sunday next weekend. I feel the pain.
Pain. Before all this, I was like ignorant. I was like, wouldn't it be great if there was like a convention every week
that we could go to?
And now I'm like,
No.
I just don't go to shit, so I'm good.
Billy No Mates over there. Billy No Life. Well, it's still work, sleep, and poop for you, isn't it?
Yep, that's pretty much.
Yeah, until this weekend.
And she's happy and refreshed, so what does that say about us?
Hey, if my job made me go to a convention, I would go. Just my job does not afford me that luxury.
Yeah, trust me.
Yes.
Not to mention, if you went to a convention, you probably wouldn't be able to talk about it.
That's right. I would absolutely not be able to talk about anything I saw.
No fun.
red tape everywhere.
Isn't the case in the US you only get about 20 minutes of holiday a year or something?
I mean, basically.
Well, yeah.
And you have to budget those 20 minutes well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So either it's 20 minutes of Christmas, 20 minutes of Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
or like 20 minutes of New Year's.
There's like legit they do add an extra 2 minutes for maternity leave.
Oh, that is true.
We had to fight for that, though.
Right. But no paternity leave, right?
No.
And men are angry about that. They
dudes
want their...
Dudes don't like babies.
Dudes,
it's a miracle.
Dudes want their 3 months of non-work.
Dudes just like helping to make babies. Dudes don't like babies.
It's like, I'm helping my wife. No, you're not babysitting your kids. You're raising your kids, jackass.
Speaking as the sole European at this table, I'm horrified. But please continue. Then again, it's my fault because we did start that joke.
You did. Yep. And we went right for it. So, I mean, really, who's at fault?
Oh, God, can you tell we have opinions?
No, not at all. Not at all. Why would we have this podcast now for 12 years?
God.
Before we jump
It's almost
stuff?
A teenager.
It's really funny.
No wonder why I'm getting more annoyed the closer it gets.
I get more annoyed with you the closer you get.
was good.
Thank you.
That was a good job.
It's because of the coffee?
I haven't had coffee yet. That's why I'm very docile.
All right,
this morning.
And I'm not. But it is our 12th anniversary as of the 6th, so Friday.
Damn.
12 years. Wow. April 2006.
We can give our podcast the first ever Pokemon game.
Yeah, it's...
You had an idea. Thought, well, why don't we do this one of these podcast things?
Really, it was just, I crack you up talking about games. You crack me up every week.
I mean, actually, if
anime.
You really go back to it, it was, hey, I talk to you, like, every week, and, yeah, you make me laugh. Why don't we record this and make other people laugh?
Yeah, that was the story I was getting to.
And I was like, I'm young and have nothing to do. I'm down.
I was just like, I kind of like audio-visual, and I want to get back into it, and we crack each other up. Let's just record this conversation and figure it out.
Let me get my Logitech microphone on, ready to go.
Right. It was so, and like, really... I thought maybe we'd do it for like a year and she'd flake out.
I mean, I did zone out
you
for years
out.
3 through 5.
Yeah, really, 3 through 5.
I really did not put in any effort.
There were times that she fell asleep during work.
That happens a lot in shows. You hear this silence like, what happened to him or her?
And I'd sleep and then she'd call me like 8 or 4 times. I'd be like, yeah, definitely that thing.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
I agree. Mm-hmm. You agree with death of babies?
Yeah, if you go back and listen to like the really horrible early episodes, you can tell exactly when she's fallen asleep, where she checked out, because I'll ask like a question.
But like, yeah, like, what?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm like,
what?
Of course.
What? You think? Oh, yeah.
When you've been like challenged on a question,
right.
You've actually
yeah, the malaise.
Same.
And you've actually recovered. You've only
it happens all the time. I've gotten better at it now.
You think you've got a 50-50 chance to get it right.
Because I'm kind of.
You just go with, yeah, right.
And then for 1 year, I would just play Journey while we were talking.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's already kind of a quiet game. So I'd be busy and I'd be listening because it was like
but
autopilot.
But not actively listening. Because she would literally be on Journey and I would see the notification pop across my Messenger app. So be like, what are you doing, texting?
Nothing.
Her? Like, you're playing Journey.
No.
Boop. But, you know, we digress. It's here like, we are.
I'm not about to start playing threes right now. I'm not.
I'll be in the same.
And I appreciate that
it's all right.
About you. Some people at
hey,
the table.
Hey, I have grown out of that. I don't do it anymore.
Right.
Never
grown
out of threes.
And no. Never. No.
And, you know, I'll be in the same boat as you guys this coming July, because it'll be 12 years since I started doing No Borders, No Race, starting out as a college radio show and now as the podcast show that it is today. So, and like you guys, you thought, maybe I'll do this for a year, and I've been doing it practically.
I'm very surprised that we even made it that first year, because I was very flighty.
I'm just so proud
and
of
dumb.
All of us at the table.
Gold stars for everyone.
Yeah.
Gold stars for everybody. For being committed. Like, jokes aside, we all do this because we're passionate about the things that we talk about, and we're here right now at PAX East, and we're going to talk about games, and we're going to talk about fun stuff that we've seen at the show, stuff that could maybe use a little more bacon time,
mm-hmm.
a little more
seasoning.
Sizzle.
You know, sometimes you got to put a little paprika on it.
And then some things need to be dragged outside and shot.
Some things should be put out of their
misery. I mean,
if it happens.
We don't have to shoot them. We could just put them on icebergs and send them down an ice flow and let nature do nature's going to do.
No, but then it might escape from the iceberg.
But if they're in water and they're too weak, they'll drown in the ocean and then become mermaids, because
yeah,
that's how that
drowning
works.
Drowning is a really horrible death, so don't do that. Go straight Viking. Just put them out on a pyre.
Yeah.
Light it up. Just make it merciful.
Because
drowning sucks.
But if they're alive, you're burning them alive, and they're feeling their flesh.
But maybe some people should feel some pain.
Let's move on.
Okay.
We go to the places we need not go.
Got it.
We are American. Sorry.
Good morning. Let's talk about ways to kill yourself.
Wow.
Do you remember where you are?
Yeah. Well, I did. So again, I start this stuff, and then I realize, I should stop.
Tangents. I run with. It's the only running I do.
We run with scissors here.
Why isn't there a video game about tangents?
There should be.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't partnered with the right group yet.
But anyway, games. Nice tie back.
Yes. Yeah. Let's talk about games. There's a lot to see at the show this year. Every year it feels like it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and I wonder how they're going to have enough space to house everything. And it just seems like they figure it out. It's like Jenga, and I don't know who the master is.
It's like city planning, but in a building.
Yes, I guess. What I find a really bad session of SimCity, but for me, what always amazes me is every day you go down, you've got an appointment or you've got to go somewhere, and you go, you look at the map on your phone, because that's what you do at PAX, you get your phone out, staring at the map, trying to get to somewhere. It's brilliantly designed, brilliantly detailed, and that's not a problem. What the nice problem is to have is you walk along and you go, okay, I'll go around here. You haven't been down there before. You just didn't know. And you go, oh, look, what's that? Look at this.
There's colour everywhere.
And it's just like, it's just like, oh, I missed all this. I've been there for 2 days. I didn't even know this existed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And it's, you know, I mean, we all know PAX East is now 4 days long.
I'm actually glad that you brought that up because I wanted to talk about the 4 day
structure. Well, can we let Pat finish his thought before you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was about to say, that's the magic of PAX in that you always find a little corner or a little something, some surprise. Sometimes it's not a great surprise, but sometimes it is a good surprise that you go, oh, look, there's more things to see and do and things and stuff. And, you know, if you are planning to go to PAX, I would impress upon you that 1 day, 2 days, and maybe you can't afford it, but really try to do as many as you can because you are not going to see a fraction of what you want to see. You won't see everything because that's not physically possible. But the problem is you won't be able to get to see things you want to see.
Very true. Yeah. Very true. Now, about the extra day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, I unfortunately did not get to experience the 4 day rush because, you know, life and stuff. Mm-hmm. But for those of you guys who touched down day one,
yep.
Like, do you feel a considerable difference?
I actually do.
In flow?
I feel like it was a lot more open on Thursday because I know there were a lot of tickets still available for the Thursday day. And I feel like it was a good first day because it wasn't as crowded or full of people as, say, Friday or Saturday were.
No.
Because that way it felt like that I wasn't being rushed or I wasn't too congested by people.
Yeah. There was an additional new type of enforcer called the Tumbleweed. Did see some of those dancing around the aisles on Thursday because there was just no one there. There were people who were genuinely confused that PAX was running for 4 days, especially I overheard people in the media who just didn't know. And I overheard some conversation. They just like, and he thought the media hours on a Saturday clearly had no idea what he was doing.
Media hour on Saturday. That has never been a thing.
No.
Especially because I got turned away at the door because, like, no, media hours were the other day. And I'm like, I didn't even know. I assumed that it was Friday still.
Nope,
did they make it Thursday?
No,
Thursday.
It was first day. Media hours always, only on the first day.
Well, fuck.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, and for me, it was lovely to be able to skitter around and even the main booths, you know, the Xbox and the PS stuff.
You just walk right in.
You just walk straight in, no hassle. For a whole Thursday, it was like that.
It was nice.
I do think that it is...
Let's keep it that way.
A smart move for
it won't last.
This particular... Yeah. I mean, it won't. Like, people will learn it's the open day.
I will make the effort to
get the day off from work to make it happen.
It's like, I heard it was a magical time, and now it won't be, because everyone will jump on it.
But not everyone. And I think that's the thing that will keep it, that it will get a little more congested, but it won't be like the throngs of what Friday was when it was the first day. And I do think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Especially for this show, because it has grown so much over the last 3 years, especially. You know, one of the things that I was noticing as I was walking the floor was all of the PC and tabletop stuff has been pushed back even further, and that area has become smaller on the expo floor.
Mm.
You know, when you look at how many PC bays were out there for people to jump in and play PUBG or to play League of Legends, that has become drastically smaller to make more space for the Indiecade as well as the other big booths.
Well, you have PAX Unplugged, mm-hmm. which then fills the tabletop. There's still a very large tabletop presence
mm-hmm.
at PAX, which I'm very happy to see. I have actually had a look at stuff around there, because that's another interest I have. But no, it's not its primary focus anymore. They've shifted it because they've got the extra show,
mm-hmm.
and that's fine, that's great, mm-hmm. and that's exactly what they made that for. So they don't want to cannibalize that audience. Mm-hmm.
I do appreciate that about PAX as a whole. You know, when you look at all the stuff that they're doing for devs and the things that they're doing for tabletop and the things that they are doing for Indiecade, which now takes up half of the floor. You know, I remember when there was just the mega booth and it was just a big booth.
Well, I remember that was a new thing.
You know, and now it's half the floor and there's some amazing stuff down there. It's just really rewarding for me to see so many people trying to come to the event that they need to add an extra day to accommodate those people, and then to see the throng still moving strong on a Sunday morning. It's hard to get mass holes up. this early on a Sunday unless we're going to church?
No.
You are the exception that proves the rule.
All right, I was about to say.
You're just a weirdo for some reason.
Up at 5 a.m., ready to start my day.
Lord Jesus.
Woo-hoo.
If I'm up on a Sunday before 1, like, something has happened.
Someone has died.
Yeah.
That is why.
Which is a great card game.
Great plug-in. They're here.
Yes, they are.
But it is really fantastic to see so many people coming out to find new games, explore different types of games, peripherals around them, and to see such great community. Like, one thing I will say that I've noticed is that everyone seems genuinely really happy this year to be here.
Well, it's also not crappy and snowy.
It's not the
basic New England weather.
That did put the fear of God into me. because as someone from London, snow doesn't sell. It just rarely, rarely sells. And when it does by an inch, the entire city grinds to a halt.
It's mayhem! It's mayhem everywhere!
Yeah,
ah!
can't deal with it.
Jolly bad!
Off we go.
It sounds like North Carolina, because the minute they have like half an inch, they have to shut down schools because they don't have proper drainage, and now there's flooding.
Yes, it's just...
It's like, really?
Yeah, it just doesn't work. So when I saw that, I thought, please, please, I need to flee. That was my immediate thought. How am I going to fly home on Monday? That was it. Totally selfish. Don't do that.
Don't worry about it. That Saturday morning, I was like, oh, it's snowing. Maybe I shouldn't Uber in. No, I'll go.
Yeah. But no, it's what I've found is the demeanor of everyone, the actual fellow attendees, so welcoming and nice and, like, really appreciative of this going on. Sounds very strange, but the best way I can describe it is you're walking along and everyone's got their backpacks and their messenger bags and stuff like that, and they're hitting each other with them because it's crowded. I've probably said sorry more in my entire life during that, and the response is, no, I'm sorry, no, please, I'm sorry. It's as if everyone's become Canadian.
Sorry.
It is, like,
yeah.
It is true.
It
very much so is, because I bumped into someone and I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, no, I was in the way. It was totally my fault. I'm like,
It goes on for ages.
Like, it does.
And then let people pass, like, after you. No, please, after you. No, please. We'll be here for hours.
Yep.
Does someone move?
Yes. You know, it's weird because it's like, okay, so there are a lot of trolls within the gaming community, but when you actually come into PAX East, people legit become the nicest people on the planet.
Because no one wants to be the dick at the con.
Right. It's the unwritten seventh rule.
You don't do it.
You don't do it.
And when you do...
You're going to hear stories.
Right. You know, you hear stories... Yes. When people like, this happened, like, really? I didn't encounter this. But.
I was in the mega indie booth, and I was playing a game, King of Hats, which I'll talk about a little bit later when we talk about games. And I'm surrounded by these four very tall guys. Like, I kind of felt like I was a princess in a tower, and I'm stuck between them because my bag is, like, stuck between two of them, and they're in the middle of a game, so they're not moving. And I'm like, tiny voice calling for help. And, like, some lady's like, will you two move? And, like, they move, like, the Red Sea. And I was like, I'm free. Because she heard that random voice in a big buzzy area that someone, like, so people are very alert and aware.
Yeah.
Now and
Which
I did
the throng of people coming through you wouldn't expect
and they did there's accidentally touch like two butts I did say sorry
no, there's a lot
Friday
of...
was worse than Saturday
it was
agreed
it wasn't here
I
so I don't know
why.
Yeah
it was so anyone listening if you want to buy badges get Thursday Saturday and Sunday avoid Friday like the plague I really suffered.
Yeah,
it was bad. You know, I did not want to go back into that throng if I really didn't have to.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But unfortunately, you know,
just the numbers,
just
sheer volume,
sheer numbers.
I don't know why. I don't know why.
It's weird.
I mean, and also just to go back a little bit on the Thursday to Sunday thing. So Eurogamer Expo, EGX, which is now part of Repop, which is then shared with PAX, they run from Thursday to Sunday as well. So I suspect the model that they follow in Birmingham, or Brum as it's known. That's the original Birmingham, by the way, listeners, not the other one.
Nice clarification.
They've been doing that for many, many years. It's Thursday to Sunday, so they might learn a little bit from them. I suspect there's going to be a lot of cross-learning between the two. I'm hopeful that one day perhaps we'll see the Left Field Collection, if there's any sense. And we'll talk about the Left Field Collection at the end of this show.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, we'll talk about it at the end.
Right.
So let's start talking about some games. Please. I would love to hear some of your fun finds at the show, because I feel like every single year, every single show, there's those diamonds in the rough that you didn't know about, you kind of discovered while walking through. And I think that those are always the fun ones, right? Because we know the big stuff. There's no reason to talk about Detroit. Everybody's going crazy for how great that looks. And
But we knew how good it looked from like two E3s ago.
Yeah.
Just David Cage. Anyone who listens to the computer game show know what I'm talking about. James Farley, David Cage, you know what I'm talking about. No,
there's going
no.
to be a lot of emotion in this video game.
It's
going to
be guff. That's what it's going to be.
Okay, so I'm not here to talk about those guys. I want to hear about your finds. I want to hear about the cool things that when we finish this cast, I need to run down to the show floor and check out myself because I didn't discover. So I'm going to start with our furthest away guest. Crop, what do you got?
It's the gems, right? The ones you didn't... Well, there's... I'm torn between two, but ultimately, I think I'm going to go with Golem Gates.
Okay.
I did not know anything about this game walking in. It looked very pretty. It was. It's next to... it's in the indie mega booth. It's next to Mother Gunship, which is a great silly game, which I played at PAX West last year.
Yeah, I played it last year at PAX.
It's so good, so funny. But I don't talk about Mother Gunship because I've already previewed that. You can go to spawn.com and read about that. So there you go. Nice plug. Go me.
good job, Gold Star, for you.
Golem Gates. I've written here in my little spreadsheet, area control real-time strategy game. Sounds very dry. I apologise. However, the visuals, it relies heavily on Fog of War to the point where you actually can barely see anything within your own vision, let alone beyond the fog. So it's, you see vague shapes, and the art design is incredible. It's just this. It reminds me a lot of Warframe. Doesn't detract anyone. Actually, Warframe's not that bad compared to what most people say about it. It's much better than it used to be. But that sort of visual, so strange, sort of spiky art, sort of gothic sort of thing going on. You have a. Do you remember Supreme Commander? It's a bit that.
No.
Yeah, it's an RTS game that people sort of celebrated. And you have a single hero sort of person, a bit like a MOBA. But unlike a MOBA, you can control the units that he generates.
Okay.
And then you can generate towers and turrets as well within certain areas, and then you actually take over other areas, just like in Company of Heroes.
Okay.
So it's got all these mashups of all these other games, and they've made this extraordinary thing. There's lots and lots of moving parts to it. And there's even a card game within it as well, where the cards come up and you can only do certain tasks depending on what random card comes up from your deck. And it's incredible. And it's not free to play either. It's a single, you pay and then you just play the game. And it's on Windows PC at the moment, I believe. And it's on the brink of coming out. But I was very, very drawn to it. So not for everyone, because I did describe something that a lot of people go, RTS, area control, MOBA-like.
I got scared at MOBA-like.
Yeah. But it's
they're not that bad.
There's no,
they're just not for me.
But there's no channels.
Okay.
And it's actually a single-player campaign that goes on about 20 different missions, and there's co-op, and there's all that kind of stuff. So it's a mashup of lots of different types and takes. I like to think some of the best parts of it. But yeah, Golem Gates, that's the game that's the one that piqued my interest the most.
That sounds really interesting. Like, you know, as you were describing it, and it seemed like a lot going on, I was trying to figure out, like, how it all comes together. So for people who don't typically play RTSs or MOBAs, when I hear card game built in on top of that, it just sounds like a whole lot of time and a whole lot of strategy. Is that what kind of drew it to you? Because
I do play a lot of tabletop games, so the card game element was really appealing, and I do like my strategy games as well. I don't flinch at playing grand strategy games like Stellaris and things like that. Like I said, the games are so diverse now. I'm not suggesting, oh yeah, everyone should play this. No. You asked the question, what piqued my interest, and this game did. I suspect that other around this table run a mile from it. I don't know. I'm not going to project onto you, but it's just my personal taste, and I really, really liked it. So there it is.
That sounds cool. I'm definitely going to check it out. I like strategy games, and I'm always kind of searching for good strategy games to make me kind of move out of my comfort zone. So I will definitely check out Golden
Gate. Does have a queue. It's that
good.
Popular.
Good.
I like strategy games, but I'm not really good. I'm not good at plotting against somebody else. I often will just play the function. Like, there's a tabletop game that I played, Star Wars Rebellion, where, like,
you
well, I played as the Empire, and my husband played as the Rebellion, and I was, like, making all these ships, and I'm like, I'm going to send them to this place and this place. He's like, are you even trying to find me? I'm like, no, not really. We know how it happens in the lore. You beat me. So,
that's interesting. I played Rebellion a couple of weeks back. Of, it was two teaming, two versus two. I was playing the Empire, and we regarded the Rebellions as misguided citizens of the Empire.
Misguided
teenagers of the Empire. And we did eventually throw Princess Leia into the Sarlacc pit.
Okay, so the lights have seemed to
be out. Oh my god, it's like a legit party.
It is legit dark.
I mean,
we didn't lose power. It's kind of like it's a campfire theme.
Is Kane gonna come out?
It's like no, but if Slenderman
now
comes,
for the
I'm
approval
really
of the Midnight Society, yeah. I present this story. Are you afraid of the dark reference?
Oh, you win.
I've been sitting on that for weeks.
Wow.
Anyway.
Okay. So keeping it moving, I'm going to move on to you, KBD. Tell me about a gem for you that you found at the show.
Well, first off, for the listeners, just so you know that every game that I actually played at PAX East as of this recording is something that I already scheduled for. So I won't say there wasn't anything that surprised me.
Okay.
With that being said, and I feel this is perfect. This is like the perfect mood to talk about this game.
Yeah, the listeners can't see this, but we are sitting.
We're shrouded in darkness.
We're shrouded in darkness.
Yes. You can't even see me.
No. You see the glasses, that's about it.
Yeah. I want to talk about Yuppie Psycho.
Okay.
So Yuppie Psycho is a pixelated styled survival horror game. And the game, basically, you play this guy who gets hired at one of the biggest corporations on the planet. And come to find out, like, he has no idea why he was hired. He feels very unqualified. He gets to the top floor, signs a contract without reading it.
Bad idea.
And that's when shit starts getting really straight. At first, at first, everything seems fine. It feels office spacey. But then when he has to go and pick up his ID, that's when the shit hits the fan. Everything goes black. Computers and coffee makers start exploding. And when he reaches the other side of the room, he sees another coworker tied to a chair. And as he's trying to...
Nothing strange so far. Please.
Sounds like my Tuesday.
Yeah, every Tuesday.
And as he is trying to, like, get to the... find a place out with this coworker, there's this big giant monster that looks like his body is made out of a cabinet, starts charging towards him, and you've got to run. And unfortunately, the guy gets tied to a chair, doesn't make it. Blood everywhere whatsoever. And then it's right after that where you find out the contract that you signed was because you have to find this witch that has cursed this company for hundreds of years.
No one's obviously...
Again, nothing's weird here.
But it is...
Is this an FPS?
No, it's a... it's a side-scroller type of game. The best title I could actually compare it to... is Corpse Party.
Oh, sign me up.
Because like Corpse Party, there is no way to defend yourself. You have to run or hide.
Actually, in the later iterations of Corpse Party, you do get something that helps you repel the demons a little bit, and they do take some damage.
Right,
so you can kind of slow them. But
I'm talking more of the original Corpse Party. The one that I would say...
I'm about halfway through that because I keep having to steal my resolve because some of those deaths are just really gruesome.
Yeah, which is totally understandable. But I feel like without Corpse Party, we wouldn't have games like Amnesia or Outlast who actually have the same game mechanic where you just have to run and hide.
I agree.
But Yuppie Psycho is looking fantastic. And the reason why I initially heard about this game is because the person who does the music for it is the same guy who did the music for Valhalla, which is still probably one of my all-time favorite visual novels. And by the way, they're coming out with a gel plushie, which is going to be totally mine when it goes up for pre-order.
Oh, plushie.
Yes. I'm the manly man who loves cute things.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
zero.
I know.
Zero wrong
You're
with that.
You're among friends.
Yes. At least it's not a hug pillow.
Sorry, in a voice.
Sometimes it just like pops out there. That's okay.
Yeah, I know.
Again, this is a safe space.
It's been a long
call. Or something like
that.
Well,
it's a dark space.
It is a dark space. But I can see the exit, so we're good.
We're good. Mm-hmm. Should there be a fire, we'll just trip over ourselves.
We'll make it. We'll make it. We're all friends. We will help each other to the exit.
We will all have an exit buddy.
Do you have your exit buddy?
Yes. And just remember, there are tables out there. So.
Oh, they just use his meat shields?
Oh, yay!
And now we have light once again.
This is great for the audience. I wonder
if it's emotion sensitive because we stopped kind of moving.
I don't know. I don't know where the motion sensors would be.
So maybe like every 10 minutes they have to be like, woo!
I think we can do that. I'm sure that we can. But I think it's really interesting that it's a side-scrolling game. That's one of the things that I've noticed as I was going through the floors, that there are a lot more side-scrollers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's... Some definitely, but it's really interesting. Like that smacks me a lot, like right in the nostalgia.
I love moving to the right all the time.
Sometimes you have to go left, though.
I know,
but
a little bit,
or backwards.
In fact, it continues to move, and you can't stop yourself. That's great.
Yeah, those are some of my favorites. But I think it's really sorry that came out a little more sarcastic than I meant it to.
No, my bad.
But I think it's really interesting that you know as a run and hide and side scrolling. Like, how does that work?
Well, I wouldn't say it's so side scrolling. It's more of like, you know, you can walk through kind of like an RPG sort of setting. Side scrolling was probably the wrong word. But
I mean, I think there are elements of side scrolling in like Corpse Party, but then there are elements like when it's more of a cutscene-y thing, it's more of a third person or kind of toppy
third
down
person, kind
of, with some interaction on top of that. Okay. So
that's
like
exactly
nice
what
layering.
It's like. And what's neat too is it has this very anime feel when you see like the cutscenes because I forget where the guys they're not from Japan. I think it's either Singapore, the people who made this game, but it has a very anime feel with the visuals, and it's really cool how they managed to like bring this sort of horror aspect into a sort of game genre that, you know, like Corpse Party, you would have to actually play it to understand how it could be actually scary.
Yeah.
Okay. What platforms is the game going to be on?
Right now I think it's going to be PC and Mac, but then I wouldn't be too surprised if it moves to console after that.
Through Steam or just direct purchase?
Steam.
I actually would probably anticipate that we could even see this potentially hit Switch.
Oh, without no question.
I'm just I've seen a lot of people developing for it too, which, you know, taking genres that you don't commonly see in mobile, I've seen a lot of people developing for the Switch, particularly at this show, which I was glad to see because a lot of people were a little skeptical about that and not sure if we...
Because the Vita died, someone had to replace it.
Yeah.
Basically what happened there.
Well, the problem with the Vita is...
I still have my Vita.
So do I.
It's in a box on my mantle.
The problem with the Vita is that it's not also a home console. That's the whole thing.
My husband has a PSP.
That was the point.
It was supposed to be.
It's meant to be a home console experience in your hand.
Yeah.
But not to get too much into a tangent, but
you have to give it up for Nintendo for actually opening up to more mature games on their console right now.
I think they had to realize that event, like there had to be some growth somewhere.
The wheel
turns and that's great, but if there aren't new spokes, why are people going to buy new wheels?
Mm-hmm. Like I would say about like 25% of the games that they were showing at their booth were M-rated titles.
So, because I think they're seeing that mobile doesn't necessarily mean young. You can be, like, people are carrying around tablets and Kindle, so, like, there's...
I got a commute on a train.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I need something to do that's not a Korean drama.
Or listening to inane chatter. I love that.
Yes.
That too.
Listen to half a phone conversation. Isn't that the best thing ever?
I love listening to people. And then interjecting at the worst time of their conversation. Like, sorry, I'm listening.
You not wanting to put any more money on that cell bill that your kid ran up.
No. Side tangent. Does anyone here ever listen to people talking in the media room?
Yes.
Like, I pretend to be listening to music, but I'm just listening to people talk.
Yes.
Some of the stuff that come out of
some of the things.
I just want to check them outside. Are you seriously here? How did you get this yellow badge again? Can I make you eat
it? So there's an outlet where they primarily look at fashion in games, which I think is an interesting thing since I like to customize stuff. So I'm looking at this very well-dressed lady. She's talking to another well-dressed lady, and they're talking about some of the Overlook outfits because I guess a new outfit pack came out for it. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, I don't understand this half jacket.
Overlook?
I mean, Overwatch. Sorry. Overwatch.
Like,
and I just...
That's the anime you're thinking of.
But I'm just like, he's like, I don't know if I really get this half jacket stuff. I'm like, it's a game. Like, it does it, and it's Hanzo. So I'm like, Hanzo looks good in whatever you put him in. And also his
Do you hate Hanzo?
I'm not great with Hanzo, but I've tried. I've done the dragon thing once and killed somebody once.
Okay.
No. I'm
embarrassed to admit, I know what you're talking about.
Surprisingly, I'm more of a Roadhog player when it comes to Overwatch.
Oh, God, I am a...
When you drive.
I'm a main mm-hmm. with my ice. But anyway, yeah. ice baby.
So it's okay.
So end of that side tangent, because I'd like to go next if I could.
Sound for best girl. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's really between two games for me that were kind of hidden nuggets, because I try to spend some time in the tabletop area because I think we could talk more about those on mm-hmm. our show. Sure. And we do go to BFIG, where primarily the biggest gems do tend to come out of the tabletop. Truth. Over the digital. And I was walking around. I was on my way to an appointment, and I saw this banner for a game called Mixtape. Which made me instantly think of you, sis.
Oh, shit.
Because you love your music.
I do like
And we were both alive
music.
When cassettes were still kind of a viable source for music.
I'm really going to hurt you after this podcast, but it's true. I made a mixtape or two or 200.
Yes, you know what? Why a pencil is so valuable.
So,
oh, my God, yes.
Crucial. Without
crucial
those,
too.
There would be no tapes at all.
There would be none. None.
Your master mix would be lost to the ages.
I mean, you can't repair a USB stick with a bit of pencil.
No, you can't. No?
You're talking to a guy whose mixtape consisted of recording things off a jam in 94.5.
Unfortunately, now they just repeat the things on the hour. But that's...
Yeah.
I digress. Totally different topic there.
Okay.
But the tabletop game, it's called Mixtape, and literally you are competing to develop the best mixtape, and you do this through cards. So they were in the middle of a game.
So a card game I would probably play.
You would probably play this, yes. Because literally, like, you have a set, you're given a set of cards, and I think it's kind of like apples to apples or Tilka, where someone is like, you know, make me a mixtape. And, like, based off the card you get, you try to compile the best tape. And, like, you reveal that and whoever wins. And I was just like, this seems like a nice introduction to some nostalgia. Also brings some people into a game genre, deck building, that they may not, mm-hmm. you know, pander to, but would feel comfortable because of the topic. And also, it would just be a good way to be like, hey, I like this type of music, and finding out what people's musical preferences are. And
sort of discovering
like that.
They're really into death metal. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, I totally love Death Clock. I would totally have that on my mixtape.
I do totally love Death Clock.
Mermaider. Anyway.
Mermaider.
You do it better than I do.
Yeah. Yes.
What kind of interests me about that is, as the person that, you know, asked for the mixtape, do you, like, pick a genre or a category? So you're like, make me a mixtape for, like, a summer barbecue.
I think you do. You set the standard. Like, I'm really sad. Make me a really bummed out mixtape. And, like, you have to try to build your mixtape based on the cards that you have.
See, that's really interesting because, you know, depending upon the cards that you get, and it would be funny to me for anyone that's playing and gets a set of cards that are artists or songs that maybe they don't know. Like, how do you know that?
You mean like drop? You mean like Drop Mix, where you don't know half the songs that they're sampling?
I know all the songs.
Oh, yeah, well.
And there's a machine that's thousands of pounds that no one wants.
I do. I love Drop Mix.
It's £100. No.
It's like
wait. Are you talking pounds in money or?
Yeah, money.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
I thought you meant weight.
I'm sorry. I forget sometimes.
Sorry, I'm British. Yeah. Well, it depends what context I said the word pounds. It doesn't weigh £100. That'd be ridiculous.
I was like,
who would want to trek that around?
No, it's about $140.
Oh, okay.
So I'm
I
almost wanted to headlock put one of the.
Is this a newer one? Because the one we have around here was 60.
No, it's the same one, but same there's one, the.
Yeah, it's just currency, basically currency beats. And
yeah.
Fleecing. Oh. It's called Fleecing,
yeah.
Where we come from.
Oh.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. I actually went to game. Lovely game.
70.
No, it's an experience.
Well, going to game, yeah, it is an experience.
It's an experience.
It's basically the UK started the game Stop.
Yeah.
So it's like that, and then I said, "Oh, they've got one for sale. That's good. How much is that, sir? That'll be £100." And I, no.
I'd rather pay bills with that money.
Yeah, I'm not. And it's just a novelty thing. Anyway, we're digressing. My worry about that game, a lot of those games, is it's relying on the players to fill the content.
Right.
And I resent that. I don't want that. I'm sick of games like that. I don't play them deliberately. I don't want you, the game, to make half a frickin' game, okay? I want the experience. I want enough. And, you know, the only bits that the player invests in or pours their creativity into is creating, like we said, on Rebellion, where I said I threw Princess Leia into the Sarlacc pit because she deserved it. She didn't care.
But I was surprised. I was going back to my topic.
Leia, best girl.
But it caught me off guard because I wasn't expecting to see that. And I like that we're seeing games that people are taking risks on the setup. Like, you know, I think at B-Fig, we also played a record game where we were learning chords on a guitar. And I like this.
You need to know three, surely.
With bass, it's just one.
Hey.
This week, come to the show, everyone. Music jokes.
For those of us who play the ukulele bass and are only learning it via tabs because I don't know notes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But I like the fact that we're looking at games that are exploring genres that most people are like, I can't see that being a game. And then finding someone to be like, prove it. It's a game.
I agree. I think it's interesting. You know, there's a space for everything and every type of game. For me, I would be definitely interested in mixing.
I mean, it's very cute. Like, the aesthetic is also like, it definitely will.
It's a box. It looks like a whole rack of little cassettes in it. It's beautiful.
It is very, very nice.
I may have to get that.
Even if you never open it, just to have it.
No, I would open it because we're going to play it at the barbecue this summer. But music is a very big part of my passion and my love. So, like, being able to sit down with some of my friends who will probably be very familiar with most of the songs that are listed on the cards, it would be very interesting for us to make mixtapes again and then, like, jump on Spotify and actually play them so I can kind of mix match and put it together and make it a different experience than just the card game piece.
Like, guys, Baby Got Back has to go at the front of the mixtape. It's the party starter.
It always goes at the front.
But anyway.
On Baby Got Back.
I can't believe
that song still exists.
And it's still poignant.
And it still gets the party going.
It's a wedding favorite, too.
It is. Granted, I didn't play it at mine.
No, we didn't play it at yours.
No.
I'm surprised they didn't even do the Jonathan Colton version.
Personally, I always prefer, You Suffer by Napalm Death. That's me.
Everybody has their own taste. You know, no judgment. We played El Sonidito at your wedding, so
well, my husband played El Sonidito at my wedding.
It also got the party started, though.
I mean, it got all the white man's jumping.
It did. They were jumping.
They were jumping like we were at a Beyonce concert.
So for me, there were quite a few games that I actually discovered because I spent a lot of time on Saturday just kind of moseying around the space, and one that I bumped into that. I actually didn't know existed because I didn't get to go B-Fig this year, was a game called Floor Kids.
Mm.
And I really like this game because it's a mixed match of two of my passions. It is a rhythm-based game that you play.
And it has floors in it, and you like floors.
Floors, I have them now, so hey.
Yeah.
But it is a, and I want to make sure I get this right, it is a breakdance battle game. So it is a versus game, player one versus player two. It is all hand-drawn animation, and it features a bunch of different B-boys and B-girls.
B-people.
Different different nationalities, and it is...
That will be in the downloadable content.
Yes.
That might be an unlockable character.
Yes, yes.
When Step Up gets a British version, then we'll see some Floor Kids.
Oh, I will kickstart a British Step Up, because I just want to see what that is.
They have to have an underground B-boy circuit.
I'm sure they do.
They do.
But like, there's only so much Dizzy Rascal that you can listen to.
Fix up, look sharp.
Exactly.
Oh my God, that song is the best. I'm instantly hyped.
but it's really interesting because the mechanics are very simple in that there are different tracks. You get to pick what song you want to break dance battle to. Each player has a section where they take turns getting main stage to breakdance. And you simply have to tap the ABXY buttons to beat. And each button is mapped to a different move. So it's up to you to put together your routine. It takes two taps of any position for it to actually score points. So you can't just go button, 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 button all around the circle. You really have to kind of double tap.
Button mash?
No, no button mash.
Nope, we want you to develop a skill.
Button with purpose.
That's mash to success.
I mean, you know? There is Soul Calibur 6 here. There's this bit of
there you go.
Going,
yeah. You just
do that.
Just that.
Do your thing.
And you're
or SNK
yeah.
Heroines.
Okay.
That's why Soul Calibur is so awesome. Carry on.
But it's really cool because it was, for me, a great mixture of music and art because all of the tracks that are done were actually created by a DJ. So this is
DJ Kid Koala.
Yeah, DJ Kid Koala. So this is a three-man project out of a small studio in Canada where it started actually as a webtoon and they turned it then into a playable game. And it's just really interesting because I was really trying to get to a merch booth when I passed by it and I heard the music and it made me stop because I'm like, oh, that's a really nice breakbeat. What's going on? And I saw the vinyl and then I saw the mini arcade that they built and there were two people playing, and this is the main reason that I even stopped at it, because one of the guys playing was in a full Jareth from Labyrinth cosplay, playing this game and just jamming out to the beat. And
was he doing
the
magic dance?
Did he have the magic tight crotch pants?
He did have the bulge, and it was appropriate. Anyway...
Nostalgia.
But it was really interesting to see these two different, very diverse people grooving out to this game and having a good time. There's a point system in it. You actually have the ability to, as the second player, when the first player is doing their breakdance, you should be tapping along to the beat because you build up a power gauge where you can basically launch a fireball at them to knock out their routine. They have a short shield. So it's a game where you're constantly always engaged, so you're not sitting back and just watching and taking a turn, which for me usually is like a breaking point for a game because if I'm playing a video game, I hate turn-based video games. If I want to do something turn-based, I'll play a board game with my friends. I play a video game to actively be in a story, and so those usually... really annoy me, but this one didn't, and I found myself. I went back.
Not an XCOM fan.
I'm not like I love watching people play XCOM, but I get no joy out of playing.
Right, okay.
You know,
so, I love listening to Lawrence talk about XCOM, but
that,
I don't.
That's crazy. Again, I appreciate it. It's just not my bag, right? And so this is definitely my bag, and surprisingly so, because in essence, it is a turn-based game. But it's super fun, it's super colorful, it has some really great music, especially if, you know, like me, you grew up in the 80s and hip-hop was a big piece of your upbringing. It hits the nostalgia thing, and it's available on Switch now, so you can actually get it now, but it is coming to Xbox and PS4. And I think that it's a great little addition. It's not a really expensive game. And for anybody who's really missing the rhythm genre right now on platform...
You, particularly.
Who'd have thought it? It was like, 10 years ago, it wasn't so much in its ascendance. It was the genre.
I would think the last decent, and I'm using decent very lightly when I say that, Amplitude, the newest one.
Yeah, but even that's a couple of years now. And that was
great.
Well, I mean, Thumper came out on Steam.
Oh,
Thumper's really good, but
really good
Amplitude,
as well.
And Amplitude really wasn't. It was
Aloy. Not Aloy. Eloy. It's also on Steam, where you're kind of like a little spaceship bug, and you have to do things to like.
Did
EDM
I say
beats.
PC or did I say console?
I know, but there are rhythm games out there.
I know that they're out there, but I don't play on PC. I play on console. So I'm saying rhythm games on console. And it is missing. Because to your point, like 3 years ago, there was no getting around plastic instruments everywhere. And even plastic instruments that...
Actually, I don't think you find it's more like 10. Sorry.
No, come on now.
Sorry. Are your brain synapses not firing at the same rate anymore?
Am I the only one who got Rock Band 4? Am I it?
You pretty much are, yeah. We can't.
My husband got Guitar Hero Live, but then I wanted to set it on fire.
Yeah.
Okay, so am I the only one that owns Rocksmith? Like, am I it? You're it.
Damn. The man formerly known as Blonic Head Rocksmith.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, honestly, something happened. The current generation, Xbox One, mm-hmm. Switch, and PS4, has not embraced that genre. In fact, as many genres we thought were going to stay forever have gone. Motion, controllers, they've got, hands-free controllers.
Remember the Kinect and how magical that was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that still has their connected?
Yes, I do.
No, I traded mine in for the Xbox One X.
I have my PS4 one on, but I only use it to recognize my face. I don't use it for any other viable stuff.
I have my PS4 one, but for the PlayStation VR.
Correct. That's the only reason you have it.
I think it's just you, sis. Holding that lonely torch.
Okay, I'm going to take my torch.
It's flickering, actually.
This little light of yours, it's barely hanging on. Yeah. In the downpour rain, it's just fighting the inevitable end.
All right, I'm going to go in my corner then, and I'll let y'all continue.
Well, look, with that being said, there was actually a really neat other rhythm game that was really cool called Double Kick Heroes. It's more metal-based, though, and while you're doing the rhythm, you're killing zombies and fighting boss battles and the like. And not to mention, you could actually use your own soundtrack on your computer.
Oh, like Brutal Legends.
Yeah, no.
Not like Brutal Legends.
Let's not talk about Brutal Legends. Let's talk about games that are kind of...
dumpy.
Wow, you...
Whoa.
Whoa.
Blow.
I mean, I was going to say it could use a little more love. More time to bake.
Let's talk about the Get Good Scrubs.
Wow.
The games that need to get good.
Let's do a quick fire because, I mean, as funny as this is and entertaining as this is, we shouldn't, it's not something we should celebrate at all because these people put time and effort into making something, and making video games is very, very hard.
All right, I'm being a dick.
Yeah, let's just try and be as constructive as we can. However, ready, everyone? That being said, ready?
Yes, you!
Right, first thing, the game is called, and it's I got sort of sent an email for it, and I sort of saw this video of this chap given. It's very earnest, very really wanted to talk about it. And I won't get to say the name of the game yet. I'll describe it first, what the problems are, then I'll give the name at the end. But the game is an action adventure using area control. And the design of it is so poor that you don't actually can see what's really going on. You're controlling this character in the middle who has these little other sub characters that can do little things that run off, do things, but you can't quite see what they're doing either, so because the design is so poor. And one of the key things about it is a lot of developers don't seem to know, people's vision is actually quite narrow when they're looking at a screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually an ellipse around a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when this happens, health is a very important part of this game, and health is tucked away in the far corner. You can't see it. Yeah, you have no idea.
Oh, it's outside of your peripheral bubble.
Yeah. It's just outside it. You can't see it. So, and the amount of times you die, you go, oh, look, I've got the health. I did not know this. And this happens a lot. Now, smart, and what is not smart developers? The developers who have thousands and thousands of people working for them know that they get over this. Like, for example, Destiny. Mm-hmm. So in Destiny, the health, where is it? Well, it's right at the top of your group. Just at the top there. What we've got to do is just glance up. Very, just a fraction. But if you've got to go, if you have to move your head in order to see it, and then look back, by which time your character's been taking more damage before, then you've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So the game is called Seed, C-E-D-E. And it's an action-adventure game with you're controlling this strange sort of like bear-like, yeti-like creature who the setup is aggressive farming, which I thought was Agricola, but okay.
I love Agricola!
But apparently this is not set in the 14th century in Germany. This is set in some weird, wonderful land where you're planting lots of seeds everywhere, hence the name.
Mm-hmm.
And as you do so, you have other plants growing, and you can use those plants to attack other creatures that are trying to despoil the land and that sort of thing. It's got potential, but the design of it's so poor that I could actually perceive what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very sad. They got a lovely booth there as well. Spent a lot of time and effort and money to put the... And the game is fair off, though. It's about a year away. So mm-hmm. they've got time to fix it all, but they need they really do need to fix it because you can't see what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a big problem.
So I couldn't actually get past that. So for me to say this is a good or bad game, well, I couldn't see what's going on. So I don't know what I couldn't really experience it as a game.
It's happening.
Yeah, it's a thing, and it's definitely a case of yeah, it needs work. Kind of, you know, diplomatically say yeah,
okay,
good luck with this.
Because I like the aggressive farming.
Yeah, farming of aggressiveness. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, KBD, what you got?
Okay, so this was actually a game that. DCD recommended, I checked out. He was raving about it, and I walked over to the booth and checked it out. It was a game called Fox and Forest.
Okay.
So Fox and Forest is a side-scroller platforming game where you play like an anthropomorphic fox. It's kind of like if you could imagine if Fox McCloud had his own video game where he's not flying in a ship, but side-scroller.
Okay.
Star Fox Adventures?
Yes.
Basically like a side-scroller
version.
You don't
know how that went.
Basically a
Speaking of stinkers.
Oh my god.
I can never get past the one where he has to push the...
It's really hard to be a Star Fox enthusiast and not have to try to defend that game.
No. Yeah.
Seriously.
It's a bit like trying to defend Star Fox 2. Anyway.
Mm. All right. So...
You can't.
So he's raving about this game, and it's like, oh, it's this great retro style. It looks like a Super Nintendo game, and then I jump on and I play it. And, you know, at first, okay, this seems pretty nice and pretty fun. And just all of a sudden, it just gets more boring and boring and boring. And the reason why it gets boring is because I've seen them do this with games like Shantae. I've seen them do this with games like Shovel Knight. And this game doesn't seem to bring anything original to the table like with Shovel Knight and Shantae.
I was about to say, because Shovel Knight's every new iteration has been engaging, intriguing, and new.
Right, exactly. Which is why I'm saying that.
It doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, you know, playing
I
the
love
game,
that game.
And what sucks, too, is that if you want... I won't say it sucks about this, but like if you want to have a checkpoint, you have to pay for the checkpoint, which, you know, adds a bit of a strategic aspect to the game, but it's like
Is the checkpoint in the box? Sorry, go ahead.
But as you progress, the further you go, the higher the price of the checkpoint is, which, okay, maybe it's a cool little strategy, but it's like every 5 stops, there's like another checkpoint. Like there's too many freaking checkpoints, which is something that
it's
never
thought.
Like,
hey, do you want to save? Hey. There was a save point back there. Do you want to save now? Yeah. How about now?
Yeah. How about now?
How about now?
Oh, wait.
That,
how about now?
$10.
So.
Yeah, forget loot boxes. The new thing is now checkpoints, everyone.
But, you know, it sucks for me to say this because, you know, I'm usually a fan of these sorts of video games. But because Fox and Forest doesn't have, like, that grab that makes me go, whoa, I need to play this instantly, like Shantae or Shovel Knight or even something like Dust and Elysian Tale, which I'm still hoping to get a sequel for that. Fox of Forest
keep waiting.
Yes, keep waiting, I know. Fox of Forest just doesn't have that oof that will grab your attention that, you know, they were trying to do but failed at doing.
I can back this up. I saw this thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
That's...
I can only empathize.
I didn't
want to, like, normally I love my retro stuff, but not, there's retro and then there's just lazy.
Right. Like Yuppie Psycho was original and retro. This was just, old hat.
It's just, no.
Let's put all these things in a blender and hope it works.
Oh,
damn. Now I need a new blender.
Yeah. Does it blend?
Oh, it's like our aunt who doesn't know how to make mashed potatoes in a blender.
Yeah.
Just, you don't do it. So my game, I actually wrote a mini review for it because I actually strongly believe in the premise of what this game I'm going to talk about is trying to do. Mm. I actually kind of imagine that it's going to be one of those games that... it's going to enrage so many people who want to do it. Because they literally are presenting something that is really kind of hard to do. And it came out of Strength in Number Studio. It's a game called Kate Must Die, which I'm a glutton for punishment. I tend to like games that remind me how not good at anything I am.
She likes the Dark Souls and the Bloodborne's, like, a lot.
Like, it's weird, because I'm such a happy, shiny person, yet I like to constantly remind myself that life is fleeting and I should just stop stabbing buttholes.
And you thought I had a dark soul.
Oh, I... no, I do.
Shiny, happy people.
But But I enjoy those games. So when I saw advertisements for this game here, I wanted to sit down and talk to them about it because I know a lot of people are playing that whole, oh, it's the Dark Souls of this, it's the Monster Hunter of that. I find myself
It's gonna stop me.
I find myself doing that a lot, and I'm trying to break myself out of that. Yeah, so I'm like, I want to find the nuance in this Dark Souls puzzler that you got going on in this game, apparently. And it is chock full of jump scares, which is probably one of the cheapest horror tactics you can implement in your game.
It's not really horror, is it?
I mean, you're just shocking my system and making me temporarily blind for a couple
ride.
Seconds.
If you want a roller coaster ride,
go on a roller coaster. Yeah. Go to Canopy Lake Park.
Roller coaster tycoon exists.
And then there's Planet Roller Coaster, which is even better.
But
yeah. Especially when you can destroy roller coasters.
Frontier Developments represent, but yeah.
but needless to say, I mean, like, I was willing to give this a chance. And I mean, the audioscape in this game, like, they definitely do set up a setting that makes the player feel uncomfortable. So you're constantly inching your joystick ever so slightly because everything in this game is trying to kill you.
Oh, the one who controls it. Okay.
Yeah. You are controlling this this psychic who's no longer psychic because her powers have been stripped. They don't exactly tell you that, but you find out that, you know, apparently you had powers and you eat mushrooms to get those back, I guess. I don't know. And there's a bad lady who's trying to kill you. You don't know why. I think you slept with her boyfriend. I don't know. You wake up in a sewer, so clearly you don't have
your
life.
You're not making good life choices.
You're not making the best choices. But literally everything in the game outside of the weirdly large rats are literally trying to kill you. So you can't run too fast because you'll alert something and it will come up and jump scare and kill you. Or you go by a pipe and the pipe will burst and melt your face off and you die. And there's a lot of unique deaths that can happen. But when I went to play this game, I had been told after like the fifth time I died, I was like, all right, there's no rhyme or reason to this. He goes, absolutely not. He's like, and no one has beaten the first level of my game. And I'm like, I feel like you didn't get hugged enough. And I feel like you just want to hurt people. And that's what this game is. This is your way of punishing people. And he's like, sort of, but people really dig it. And I'm like, to different strokes, my man. And I mean, I like the animation style in the game, and it does control well, but there's a story somewhere. I just can't get far enough down the hallway to find it. And apparently it was only supposed to be like a one-shot episodic game, and now they've put 9 months into it, and now it's several levels, which I don't think anyone has ever seen. And unless they bring down the difficulty, which the base level is challenging, so clearly there is no learning the maps, then, okay, I think I have the skill set, and then, okay, challenge me. It's literally, no, here's the level, and it only gets worse from here. And I mean, and I don't know why we're attributing that to, like, Dark Souls or Bloodborne, because
that's not what it did. No, that was about basically it was the anti-Diablo. That's what it was about. It was about making sure that combat meant something. That's all it ever was.
Yeah.
And there's a tier, which is a game in the PlayStation, which I highly recommend. I know I shouldn't have done that and out of turn, but
it's okay.
If you want to talk about a great game, you should look at that. The Last Day here at PlayStation is amazing, and it's just next door to Knights with Bikes. So, yeah, these are really good games, and the whole Dark Souls thing, and it's just about combat and that nuance of combat, and there's plenty of games out there like that understand that they take away the difficulty. Because that's the problem with Dark Souls, is that it's the amount of hits that these creatures take. Whereas these other games, they've actually reduced that and makes it, you know, you just get a good hit in, and then they're out for the count.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, digressed.
So, I think there's some promise here, but I think, one, I think the leader of this team needs to, you know, I'm not saying like the challenging puzzles, which I wish I had gotten to a puzzle. Like, there was all these nuances that I was like, I was looking forward to getting to one of those, but I'm like, I can't navigate well enough to even get to the point where I'd find a piece of the puzzle and realize it's part of this puzzle because I can't get through to see things. And I mean, granted, the elements I did see, like I said, the audio was really, really good. The animation was also really good. And the bits of story that, like, you could kind of surmise from the setting, I was like, all right, I get this. Like, post-apocalyptic punk fusion, like, I'm getting that. We're like, we're in a higher plane of existence a little bit, but there's not much else to go on. And I mean, there was a small gathering of people who just wanted to get their scare on. And I mean, I'm a big fan of survival horror, so, you know, in Escape, where now we have games like Outlast and we have the revamp of Resident Evil, which is taking a page out of escapist horror and not original survival horror games where you have a big gun and you actually can fight the baddies. It's now more about, oh no, just survive and get out and survive, which I like that element. I've always wanted a return to basics and we're finally getting it, but I feel like he took this game to a serious left and just there needs to be some tweaking here a little bit. But there's enough nuggets that I could totally see myself watching somebody who has far more patience than I, which says a lot because I played Demon's Souls 4 times and Bloodborne 2. So, yeah, and if I can't sit there and go, okay, I will sit myself and walk through this, I think there's something wrong. Mm. Something's not balanced right. So, promising, but needs some tweaks.
I'm just proud of you for doing air quotes and not saying air quotes. Gold star for you.
You probably felt the warmth of the whiff of air flowing through the microphone.
Yes. That's great.
Well, because there are people here to see me do it.
Right.
Yes. I think that's why I did that.
Because for 12 years you've gone, and I'm using
air quotes here.
Jeez. Yeah.
Just say AQ.
No. We don't do these things.
No. I've been told not to say it.
Right.
And so, only do it. And granted, it's not translated audibly.
Well, when you say it with the air quotes,
focus,
you kind of
son,
like...
Focus, Daniel, because it's getting close here on time, and yeah. You are not... I am reclaiming my time.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Take it.
So my game is actually one that I'm hopeful that the course corrections will happen, because like you, I see a lot of potential in the game. So my game is Grip. I spent a lot of time with Wired Games, and I did play Roadblock, too. And so Grip is a racing game, but...
It's a sequel to Roll Cage.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Spiritual successor?
Yeah, they can't... Yeah, because Roll Cage is owned by someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it looks absolutely fantastic. It has a lot of customization in it, which is great. I was really attracted to the fact that I could create, you know, a game setting for Couch Coop, because it feels like to me that... Everyone's running away from Couch Coop these days.
And I love my couch. And I sleep on it all the time.
I do too. But every once in a while, I like to invite people over to sit on my couch, and we can play games together.
Your couch is comfortable. I like sleeping on your couch too.
I'm waiting for the butt, though. It's coming.
Yeah, it is ridiculously
What's
fast.
What's that coming over the hill?
It's a big butt.
Yeah.
It's a badonkadonk.
Is this a butt we like?
No.
So I played it a few times to make sure that like I wasn't being like too sensitive to it.
But the
thing for me is that it is so fast and runs gorgeously. All the vehicles look fantastic.
Yeah, cool.
But the UI is the killer for me. Yeah. Like I could not keep track of, because there were so many things moving and so fast and other cars and catch
you
up.
Can't see.
I couldn't see what I needed to pay attention to as far as, like, indicators that the level was about to switch.
Why didn't they do what Split Second did, you know? What was so hard?
I don't get it.
Split Second
was so...
It seems like we have a theme. A lot of these are, like, races. Missing marks or, like, impairments of some type.
No one's taking to something. Is the UI designer been...
Just it feels like they just checked out just a little bit on that part, because it was difficult for me to like really stay in the race, even with catch up on, which is a feature that basically makes it so that when you're racing against AI, that the pack never gets too far away from you, that you couldn't catch up and have a shot again.
So it's not what I thought.
No, it's a handicap.
So not everyone sort of turns into a bottle of ketchup.
No, okay, they don't turn into ketchup. Okay. No tomatoes.
Actually, that'd be a great mod that someone will do.
Sorry, that was a great pun joke, everyone. That's free.
The next one will cost you $10 for your checkpoint.
For your checkpoint. And then the next will be a loot box.
But or would that be £10 or €10?
Yes, €10.
Okay. Even worse. Yeah. So, but that was really the difficulty for me. I found it very difficult to stay in the pack and actually follow the game. And it just became, okay, hit the button and hope that I stay in the pack or in the front.
You don't even know where you are positioned.
I don't know where I am in position until finally the end of the race. And then it's like, oh, you came in third. Holy Jesus. Like, yeah. I had no clue.
No clue. Mm.
And that's a bad place to be in a racer. I should know where my position is. I should know what lap I'm on.
You want
to
be in pole position.
You shouldn't have to move your head.
I shouldn't.
Unless it's VR. It works with VR.
Right.
But, you know.
But that's a completely different beast.
Yeah.
And if that thing was in VR, holy Jesus, like, take my money and we'd be done. And, yeah, that would happen too. But I would be okay with it. I would feel like I was getting my money's worth because it physically affected me.
Yes.
But I had a lot of hope for the game. And I do think that, you know, there's still more time. It's not coming out yet.
They've been working with it for a long time.
About 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And you know,
I think they tried to kickstart it and there's all sorts of history behind it.
Mm-hmm. And it's obviously a labor of love. Like when I sat down with Chris to talk about
people love roll cage.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's a lot of effort being put into it. You know, they're trying to make it balanced and I really appreciate that. The thing has a campaign mode as well as single player and multiplayer mode. And there are bunches of different battle types in there, including deathmatch and things like that. So there's a lot that's there. But if your UI is off, I can't play your game.
No.
Because there's no game to it now. It's just hope and pray.
Can't see. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I think the biggest problem, it's a nice problem to have, and it's that disgusting phrase, first world problem. But our tellies are massive. Our TVs are huge.
Mm-hmm.
If you told me 15 years ago I've got a 50-inch television in my living room, I'd say, why? That would be the size of a house. Why? Mm-hmm. I was thinking it was a CRT.
I have a 70.
Yeah, to see. There you go. There's always one, isn't there? You had to do that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yep.
Just, okay, 100-inch. Okay, whatever. Okay. But the point is, because they're so massive, and we're still... But you know, proportionally, it's fine for watching a film,
mm-hmm.
or television, or some other drama or thing. But when it comes to playing a video game, because they put things, the important things, in the peripheral vision,
mm-hmm.
but you can't see them. You can't see them, and you know, when you're standing back looking on, watching someone play this game, it's frustrating as hell. Like, don't they know they're in fifth?
Mm-hmm.
Don't they know they need to do something? Don't they know they're about to
throw
die?
The blue shell?
Yeah.
Get that one out of position.
Yeah, and it's just it's a big problem. And I don't think it. And then you got the other problem of the office chair, not the office chair, the game chair now versus the couch play.
Mm-hmm.
This has been for quite some time, but now it's going to reach in the crescendo because you get people sitting there playing games on a PC, which I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I can do that on my television thanks to the link box that now costs $2. Right, and you know, so but you've got that situation where designers, bless them, are having to cater to those two, because when you're sitting there with your 22-inch monitor, whatever it is, which is a ridiculous refresh rate, you know, it's not bad, you know, you don't have to look, it's fine, you know,
mm-hmm.
but when you're sitting there with your 2,000-inch screen.
Yeah, it's not 2,000.
I'm
not guessing
that. Okay,
that's a weird ass on.
We're just rounding up.
We're just rounding up now. So we've got a million-inch, you know, sort of square sort of wall. You can't see. And I don't know how they're going to overcome it. I do know, but they need to understand that we're only looking at the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else around the periphery, I don't know, they could have a
should not be important
thing. I mm-hmm. don't know. We can't see it.
But I think that you've really keyed into it because so many developers are used to developing for smaller screens that putting your HUD elements on the periphery was where they made the most sense as opposed to in the middle vision because that's where at least your story had to go. But I'm in the same boat. You know, we were playing on that, you know, big 70-inch TV and I lost the HUD. And that's never a good place to be in any game,
if
I lose your HUD, I'm screwed.
And we laymen, we're not make developers. So mm-hmm. if we're spotting this, they should know.
Mm-hmm.
They should know. And I've said it to a lot of developers, and they go, yeah, you're right, can't see. And what's really frustrating also is that when you've got Switch developers, because they're just developing for two screens. They've got a little screen, awesome, you can have everything on periphery because you can see everything. And then you throw up on the screen, no, I can't.
Yeah,
I mean, you kind of saw that difference in Splatoon and Splatoon 2 when you had the dual screen.
See, I've never played Splatoon.
Well, because on Splatoon 1, you had the HUD map on your gamepad, and you had the big, so you'd be able to see, you could map all of it down here. But in the newer one, you don't have that element in Switch.
Right.
Which, so they have to put it all here, and I'm like, no, I'm trying to splat paint. I can't. I'm not gauging everything else.
Yeah.
pretty much. You know, while I love Splatoon 2, that was one of the biggest flaws of the game.
It's like, oh, I missed that element. I'm like, oh, I could see the whole map here, and I already know where I'm going and what my route is. Like, it allowed you to plan way ahead of your strat.
I think we've kind of identified the thing, the takeaway for developers, game makers, producers. We love your games, but we need to be able to see your HUD so we can enjoy the game and actually follow it.
Yeah.
Yes. It's really important.
Ideal vision. Yes.
And there's a lot of great stuff on the show floor. I'm really excited for what's coming this year across the games fair, across PC. You know, Nintendo's got a great showing and some really fun stuff that's coming out.
That's direct, though.
Both from first party and from third party and independent developers. It's a really good time to be a gamer. I want to thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thanks for dealing with me.
Round table and putting up with me having coffee actually in me for once when we do this. I want to let everybody do their plugs for all their stuff. Please make sure, guys, that you check out everything that the team here is doing, because it's really some fantastic stuff. If you didn't get the gist of it from this round table, I don't know how to help you. So we'll start with you, Crop. Where can people find you? What are you doing? What should they subscribe to?
There's two things I do principally. The first thing is I write and I'm an editor at spong.com. That's S-P-O-N-G.com. It's a very, very old website. We've been around for 20 years now. And what I do there is I do editorial features and that kind of thing, but I also do a podcast called The Sausage Factory. This is where I interview video game developers about them and the games they make. It only lasts an hour, and it's split into two halves. I've asked them about their career and their inspirations and their drivers, and then we talk, and then the second half of the show, we actually talk about design aspects of the games they've made. This latest episode 181, this has been going for a very long time now, it features Cube 2, which is a fantastic game. And before that, we had Warframe. And we had all sorts of people on, I do recommend you delving into that. It's very much like an actor's studio, only for the video game developers.
KBD, what about you?
All right, so for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our No Borders, No Race podcast show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at KingBabyDuckESH and on the J-Pop Anime Video Games Amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH. And on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. You can also like us on facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade. And you can also hear me every other week on the Wicked Anime Podcast Show with our good buddies John Star, Andrew, and Elite Four Derek on nerdyshow.com/WickedAnime and places where you can podcast your podcast. And currently, I am in the midst of working on my Anime Boston 2018 coverage. We've got a few more podcast interviews that are going to be going through, as well as some videos shot with the people with Funimation, G-Kids, Sentai Filmworks, and High Dive. So look out for those very shortly.
Awesome. And Panda, where can people find you?
I don't know.
Do you even know where you are?
No.
No, I don't know.
It's too dark.
It's gone dark again.
Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you?
You end up doing the plug stuff, so I don't have to think about them. Wait, I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter.
Did you literally just tell people on this podcast that I'm the plug?
Yeah.
You the best plug.
Well, she spoke about butts earlier.
Big butts.
Yeah.
Okay. No. But you can find me on Twitter at Lady Ash. You can find me on Land of Ash, which is on Facebook. I'm constantly playing Ni No Kuni, so you could probably find me on PlayStation under the same name, and also the same name on my Xbox. So I'm always playing games. That's where you find me, on my couch.
That's a good stuff. So you definitely want to make sure that you subscribe to our podcast, which is available in iTunes, either on the desktop or through the podcast application as the Eshcast. Make sure you subscribe so you can get our brand new episodes the moment we put them out on the web. You can also find us on VogNetwork.com, on Stitcher Radio. We are coming soon to Spotify, so please stay tuned for that. You can get our podcast wherever fine podcasts are purveyed. Make sure that you bookmark our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. We have some great news and reviews from the team there on the site. We're also going to have some video there. We have some fun stuff that's coming soon. So please, please, please make sure that you bookmark iSight as well as some of the other amazing sites that are part of the Esh Network. That includes KBD's B3Crew.com. That includes SmashRook.com. That includes IssuesProgram.com. And, of course, NerdCrave.com. So please make sure that you check out all of our sites. There's some great content across all of nerddom, whether it's comic books, movies, anime, manga, video games, tabletop games, or just general geekery. We talk about it all because we love all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Definitely engage with us on social. We love getting your questions and hearing from you guys. So you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/landofesh. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at ESH News. And soon to come, Mixer. So stay tuned. We've got a lot of interesting stuff coming up in the year. I want to thank everybody for joining us on the roundtable. We love you guys so much and appreciate you. And for everybody else out there, keep gaming, have fun, and we'll see you guys next week.
Titties.